Who the who?
Hey there. What's going on, dude?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ian Ellis Podcast.
Today, just jumping right into it.
Well, we are recording.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess you could edit, but it's all good. Let's go. Let's jump right into it. CEO's not here. Let's go.
I don't think he's going to make it.
Fair enough.
Do we want to talk about the future and direction of the show? Publicly?
I don't know if it's really cemented yet, so it's not. I don't have much to say about it.
Well, the American Dream now has a Patreon you can join for $1.
Excellent, excellent. Wonderful, wonderful.
Join the American Dream, so promotional code ENLS LLC.
I hope they enjoy splitting that $23 a month.
Oh, there's only two of them, unless they brought in the third guy. They're on the Patreon. What does Patreon take off the top, like 30%?
It takes a substantial amount, yeah, probably at least 30 to 35%, maybe 40. I take close to half. YouTube takes about half of your ad revenue.
Are you asking for trouble if you're like, here's my PayPal? Just everybody PayPal me, and I'll send personally email you the files.
People do that all the time. All sorts of people. You can send people money on PayPal just as like a gift, and it's fine. I've received money for some of my services.
I don't like doing premium episodes because I want everybody to hear everything and be up to date on everything. But at the same time, that seems like about the only way to like monetize and move forward so that we can do a more high quality show.
I'm sorry, Ian, I cut out for just a second. What was that? You might have to edit around that part.
I was saying I generally don't like the idea of premium episodes because I want everybody to hear everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for having all your episodes be public, because then it's counterintuitive. If you save your good stuff for your premium episodes, then no one sees it and you don't grow. And if you only put your shitty content up on the premium, then everyone who pays for it feels like they're getting ripped off. So I don't really think that's the model. I think you just have to have a couple different things you can do. Like, you have to have content that maybe isn't your main content that people could have access to. So let's say if we all wanted to sell our dick pics and you donate to our OnlyFans, you could get a one of a kind with apology dick pic for like $1 a month or something. We'll do like a whole calendar if you pay like 10 months at a time.
I was hanging out with a younger comic today and he was telling me like all the girls he went to high school with are on Only now. He's like, with the pandemic, it's great. I see
all
these naked
now. All over.
Doesn't that add up? Like pretty quick. He's like, nah, man, some of them are like $3, some are $1.
Yeah, every single girl has an OnlyFans, and they're all cheap. They're all budgeting because they need toilet paper right now.
I don't know what the legalese is around this, but I do wish they would make something like Instagram for porn, because I do like looking at pictures, and then like when I'm looking for a video, I really don't want to start a video and open a page and close a page and have a fucking pop-up. Like, I wish I could just sort of stream down, click on a video. There's a search key if I need it.
I think there is a lot of money in that idea, but you have to be an app guy. And so you just gave a really good idea to an app guy who's going to proceed to make that.
App guy.
Twitter is kind of that, because Twitter, you can post your porn and your news.
Follow porn, but like I don't want to use my real name on
right
it.
You don't want to mix and match. Well, if you had porn Twitter, are you insinuating you would use your real name? I don't think you would.
So I'd have to have like a second Twitter account that just follows porn stars, where I just get to be like a real deviant that's out there saying these terrible
where
things.
It's all censored videos directing you to those bitches OnlyFans accounts,
you know. I've never left a comment in any sort of porn. I've never liked or downvoted or shared. No, I think I had shared one porn where I was like, CEO, you have to see this. Just go find a private place and watch this. But if like following on Twitter, I feel like I would be more inclined to interact with them which would be a dangerous spiral because then I would get invested in them.
You're arguing with porn stars now on Twitter about
The porn industry doesn't want something like Instagram where you can get invested in specific porn models. I'm sure you guys don't want that, so don't you dare make that. We all know how addictive social media is, thanks to the dilemma. Don't pour porn on top of that.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting that the only way I can consume porn is in like 30-minute chunks that I skim through. You know what I mean? Like, I never watch a full video. You're pretty much just hitting the keyframes.
Dude, I pretty frequently will be like, you know what? I got some time to myself. Well, I don't frequently have time to myself, but like when I do, I'll go, I'm going to watch this thing start to finish. Just whatever happens, happens. And then as soon as I'm like hot and bothered, I'm like, yep, jump to this part. I don't have the patience for a full vid.
Well, I mean, when are you supposed to time it? Like, no matter when you finish, you're going to close out the video. Anyone that finishes a porn is a lunatic. Well, I only got 45 seconds left. Let me see how he squares this one off. How's he going to pull this together with 30 seconds to spare? What a cliffhanger.
You know, I knew he was a gentleman. I knew he was going to give her a towel at the end. You can make porn bets at BetUSA.
That's going to be Sane's Entertainment's new sponsor pretty soon. Once he realizes that his link to his sports betting website was broken.
Cumtown has a sports one in that fucking horseshit Kratom. Or not Kratom, the one that's like fake weed. Cushy dreams. Get some Kush in ya. It's not weed, and weed is mostly legal and incredibly cheap and easy to get. But yeah, buy this fake shit.
So did you ever manage to make it to that, weren't you supposed to go to an open mic, Mr. Ian Ellis?
So I got there, and it turned out it was a guy's one-man show.
Oh, excellent. So there was, the mic was there, it just wasn't open. It was a closed mic.
The audacity of him to be like, there's no comedy. It was Junior Stopka. He's like, there's no comedy. Come just watch me perform. I don't want to sit here with you idiots. The last episode of the podcast, so I guess you're not caught up yet. I got there and it turned out it was Junior Stopka's show. But he's like one of my favorite comics. So we stuck around and we turned up and I took like a 100-milligram THC pill. And then I was hitting a vape pen and then I had like 6 beers and a shot. And then at the absolute end of it, he's like, okay, Ian Ellis coming up next. And I was like, no, I don't want to fucking go up there.
He actually gave you the chance though. You should have did it. You should have just went up there and done your own one-man show, not even have did any comedy.
I was like, dude, I'll fuck around with you. I don't want to do jokes. He's like, nope, you come to jokes. So I did one.
Yakov Smirnoff was the guy performing?
He's the evil version of that.
Mm.
And my buddy Vlad went down there with me. So I was like, coming up next, Vlad, he's like super new. So like he's dying to get any stage time he can get. And I was like, all right, man, you get this. This is, you know, it's important for you. It's just you, me, and Junior and the bartender hanging out in Chicago. And then he wound up being the one to drive me home because I was not up to the task.
Oh, you got a little too turnt at the closed mic, did you?
Yeah, man, I was just, I haven't
been out in a while. Ian Ellis was feeling himself. First night out since COVID.
It is first like real comedy night. And then I haven't seen Junior in like 3 years. So we were like, you know, drinking and hanging out, just catching up on shit. And his wife was my friend that I started stand up with. She was the old host of Chicago Open Mic.
Wait, who was your wife? Was the old host?
I used to do a show with Maggie Edney, and she went on to be Junior's chick.
Ah, okay, gotcha. Well, you comedians are all incestual, right? So if that's the least of your guys' connections, then you don't really know them.
Everybody, fucking everybody. Is the word Guinea a race slur?
It's supposed to be. For if you ask Don A if it is, he'll probably say, yeah, cuz. So probably.
I never knew that. I was watching a kid's show today, the guinea pig, and I was like, are you allowed to call a thing a guinea pig? That sounds like a great insult for Don A or his son.
Wait, you never heard of a guinea pig before?
Of course, it just never occurred to me that, like, oh, we call – it's like calling something, like, the Negro fish or something. discovered by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle in 1820, we have the spook turtle. As you can see from the distinctive patterning on its back, it looked like what they called a Jigaboo Charlie at the time. In fact, every phylum has a racist animal.
Every phylum. Is that your anthropology degree showing right there, Ian?
I couldn't tell you what a phylum is. I just know there's like the big group they're all in, and then the small groups they break down to. So I was telling my wife this, and she said her and her dad were having a conversation about wife beaters. And her mother-in-law chimed in and was like, can you guys stop calling them wife beaters? It's kind of derogatory. They're guinea tees. And they were like, wait, what? And her, just like me, she did not realize that guinea was a slur. She's like, oh my God, I've been going out and asking for guinea tees for 30 years. Excuse me, can you help me find the guinea tees, man?
What a great old racist grandma story.
Do you have any of those spook shorts? My grandson's birthday's coming up. He's a basketballer.
You know, I'm trying to think if my grandma was racist and nothing was coming to me.
My grandmother was, but she was from England and she hated Irish people.
My grandma was too fat for me to ever know how racist she was because she barely saw other people.
I was really into Gandhi when I was younger.
How could you never guess?
One day I was talking to her about Gandhi. It turned out she also, I'm not going to say hated Indians, but she's like, I don't know what they're on about. We civilized them.
I don't know what they're on about.
Running around in loincloths until we gave them civilization.
Oh my God. Grandma. Save it for the reunion.
Hey, she was in World War II. She's the greatest generation.
That's your grandma that heckled you, right?
Yeah, man.
And that is on the ENSLOC, actually. Not she Chicago Open Mic.
Or if you guys want to go to iTunes, you can buy Dante Nero's album, Dante Nero Live, where my grandma also heckles him.
I actually kind of want to buy the album just to hear that. I've never purchased it. I only want to listen to it and wait to see where I can find your grandma. And I would even make a compilation of it and upload it to YouTube.
Dante has graphically flirted with my grandmother, and I believe she may have pinched his butt.
Does that make you feel proud, or are you... in retrospect. At the time, I know you were probably proud.
I think it's the funniest thing in the world when an old person is like, cheeky and sexual. I guess it would probably
as long as they're not a male and you're not a young girl.
Yeah, my grandmother seems to be. You know, acting like a slut was hilarious to me. Whereas my grandfather, but my grandfather was the type that he would like try and pick up the waitress anywhere we went, and my grandmother would just be like, "Oh, you."
So, what are the chances that those old people are like? Like you said, like, oh, it's so funny and quirky and cute, my funny old grandma. But it's like, what are the chances that she was really just an old lady that just goes, oh, I need dick. And she just, it was shining even in her old age. And you misconstrued that. Oh, funny grandma. But she was deadpan serious every time.
Well, there was an awkward point when I realized that, like, you know, I stopped thinking of my like parents and grandparents as, you know, oh, it's mom and grandma. And I was like, oh, they're sexual beings. And I was like, should I buy my Nana a vibrator? Because like, I really love her. And she'd probably have a blast with it. And she has no idea what the fuck it is. And no one else is going to take her.
So
I decided it might be bad for her. She might abuse it and have a heart attack.
Might not be the best thing to get your grandma. But you don't want your grandma going around being sexually active in their oldest of age, do you? That's probably not too safe either.
It would have been hilarious if I went to visit her and she's like, Ian, it's weird at night. There's just all this buzzing in all the other rooms and everybody starts moaning. I don't know what's going on. I think the beds are vibrating the ladies at night. You still there, man?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry. Had to seal my blunt a little bit real quick. I'm trying to roll as I do this because someone just threw me in. Didn't give me even 5 minutes of prep time to roll my blunt.
Yeah, sorry. My G dropped off some smoke today. It's the first time I've had any in like 4 days. Just I had a whole bunch of bills. I had to get the car fixed and shit. So I didn't have any money. It was one of the things I got to sacrifice sometimes is having smoke for a few days. And I wasn't going to do a podcast today, but I smoked a little bit earlier when my wife came home. And I was thinking of all kinds of funny shit. And I was like, when I get home. I went to a birthday party today. All right, I was like, when I get home from this birthday party, I'm doing a podcast. If I have to do it by myself, I will, goddammit.
So what was the birthday party trigger? What was going on over there? Was it just weird to be out with people again?
So my sister's married to a Filipino. And here's how Asian the party was. There was three kinds of egg roll and two of them were handmade. There was Vietnamese people there. Most of the people there couldn't speak a lick of English. It was like there should have been like a mahjong table out. And my nephew is like the biggest sweetheart in the world. And me and my kid were in the living room playing with his Fortnite toys. And he came over and as politely as he absolutely could, he asked me to leave. He was like,
sir.
Yeah.
Not even like a little kid, like a grown man, like, sir, you can't do that over here.
He like straightens his back, puts one hand behind his back and clears his throat.
Uncle? That's not what that table is for.
Yeah. Today I had to go to Best Buy to buy V-Bucks.
Oh, that's the Fortnite cash?
Yeah, Fortnite.
This is your first time. So are you such a boomer, Ian, that you never bought like Microsoft points or anything like that?
I've never done that. I've gotten a gift card for it, and I bought some extra shit in South Park. But one thing I was thinking about, at first when I had to get him these V-Bucks, I was like, it's kind of weird his generation. Cause like I much would have preferred like a toy or something tangible I could carry around as opposed to like, I want to spend $40 in a game to make my character look as cool as possible.
Yeah. That's all it is too. That's the fucked up part is they play the game and they don't even relish. They've restructured the way that games reward kids where they don't even relish in like winning a match or playing like a good round. They just want to show off their characters' hats to each other because 8 times out of 10 is just the little default guy.
Well, as a parent, I know like this shit's going to continue when my kid is older and it's going to like infuriate me to like give him $50 for his fucking whatever game he's playing on his phone at that time for absolutely fucking nothing. Like as much as it would cost me to get a whole game, he's going to be like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, I'm getting this new skin for the gun and give him some new sneaks.
Just don't give him the opportunity to be into. That's why you got to know how the loot boxes and shit work. It's actually really important if you're going to have a kid that games and you have a boy. So
I want to say to him, like, wouldn't you rather have some sneakers for you? Wouldn't that
even
be more dope?
Even sit down on the game and be like, what am I buying? You know what I mean? Like, there's $10 things you can buy for Halo. You know what I mean? That might bring you a lot of fun. Like, you know, new levels to play on and stuff like that. And, yeah, you know, that could potentially be cool, but you got to just be
imagine not a boomer. You're 11. You go to school every day. You hang out at a desk. There's a playground where you hang out with your boys and you talk cusses.
You talk curses.
I took my kid to the playground the other day, and these fucking older kids, so I'm going to say like 11 or 14 maybe, there was two types of them. There were ones that were just like swearing up a goddamn storm, and which I like. I was like, yeah, I was doing that as a kid. Just it's fucking horse shit. This fucking homework is fucking dog. This cunt doesn't know what she's talking about. And fucking Raphael would beat the fucking shit out of Leonardo, bro. The other group of kids that was sitting over there, they were, again, like 11 or 13. They were talking about their stock options. They've been doing stocks on their phone. And this kid was like, yeah, I lost $1,000 on Disney, but, you know, Mulan's coming back strong. They thought it would do, like, 28%, but it actually did, like, 29.6%. So I think it's going to be pretty sweet at, like, the fiscal capital.
I kind of like these kids now. I'm kind of thinking I want to go over there and see what their stock tips were.
I was so goddamn mad. I was like, I don't have $1,000 to go lose on Disney. These fucking kids.
That's what I'm saying. Like, my whole portfolio is about $1,000, and I have 20 different stocks. I'm nickel and diming my way up there.
At what point do you pull out on Zoom?
Zoom has gone up a lot since I looked at it. So I have no idea. It might keep going up. I invested in eBay, and that was a mistake because eBay stopped dead in its tracks.
Well, Amazon's taking over the world. Amazon is like China. They're the China of U.S. business, where they're just slowly infiltrating and gobbling up everything that there is. There's opening up an Amazon down the street from my chicken shack. Kind of like put everything out of fucking business. So they had bigwigs come in. You know, they want to remodel and like do everything we can to drive up sales and shit. So they worked us to the goddamn bone. And they were like, overtime is no option. They had one girl work 11 hours straight. And she had to, like, still fucking dip strawberries in chocolate before she left. So they finally came in. They just looked at us for, like, 5 minutes and walked away. And I walked in the back to my coworker, and I was like, BLM, hands up, BLM, hands up. Come on, dog, let's go run on him. Say his name. Justice for Brianna.
Are you feeling any repercussions from that stuff in Chicago? Are you sick of it? So did they ever break into the chicken joint?
I just had to do a survey for my job, and one of the questions on the survey was, how do you feel like we're handling the racial tensions in the nation? And I said, very poorly. And then it popped up and was like, why do you think we're handling this very poorly?
They had a flag just for the people that said that.
So I didn't, I just wrote this as a dumb question because I didn't want to get involved, but when the riots were coming to my area, they took every table and chair in the place and stacked it up against the windows to riot proof it. And then they hired like 3 guards to come sit in the parking lot, like full on police that looked like they were like the fucking military. So I would say they're handling it not well. They're scared to death. They did not put up a BLM, like those signs that all the businesses have, like we support. But we do, there's one black lady that works in like, the new hire, whatever that position is called, coordinator. And, for like 3 days, she just walked around with her afro out and just kicking her staff and was just like, we out, we proud. Yeah, that's right.
They're just pretty much in a situation where they're like, no response isn't good, but there isn't a response that seems to be good. Man, I'd hate to own a business right now.
They also asked us about how they've responded to COVID. And
again, not well.
Yeah, and I had to say very poorly. Because when we first went into lockdown, they took it very, very seriously. And they're still pretty crazy about masks. Like, we have to call security anytime someone doesn't have a mask. But like the first time someone got it, it was a big deal and everybody knew. And then by the third one, they stopped telling us if someone in the store had it. And they like, they don't make you get tested before you come back. You just take 2 weeks off and then come back.
Yeah, it seems to have been quite a bit of hullabaloo, I must say. The more and more it goes on. I'm sick of wearing masks into stores and getting made fun of by employees. That's what I'm sick of. Has this happened to you yet, Ian Ellis?
I'm done with the mask.
I went into a weed dispensary the other day. Security guard.
You just bumped out at security guard. If you come back, Billy Boo was telling us about a security guard making fun of his mask. He said, "You look like a fucking minion. Where's your glasses?" He's the minion to my group. Let me double check. If he is gone, I'll have to says he's connected. Billy Boo, you may have to leave and come back. If you can hear the sound of my voice, leave and come back. We're at 26 minutes. We're shooting for an hour. Should I just end this one? I'm going to end this one and start another. Hoo-de-hoo.
I got a phone call and that broke everything on this fucking app.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was, who's Plank in the Discord?
Oh, that's Jay King.
Not Jay King. Who's the other dude? The one I was really mean to when he first came around.
Andy?
Black dude. No, black dude.
Black dude?
I did Van? A whole podcast with Van.
I don't remember you ever being mean to Van. Where was I for this?
When he first would call in, I didn't know who he was, and so I would start shitting on him immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who the fuck are you? Get the fuck out of here, stupid. No, you suck, and your opinion's gay.
Yeah, Ian Ellis has the winning strategy of, oh, you're a fan of what we do? Let me belittle you in any way.
So, when I had Van on...
I actually just remembered what we were talking about before. With the mask.
You're getting made fun of for masks.
Yeah,
basically, so... anything. Hold on real quick. Anything can knock you off this app. If an alarm goes off on your phone, if you get a text. So disable all communications.
I'm on Wi-Fi, so it should be good. But
So you're saying you went to the weed store,
the security guard has a mask, tells me to make sure I have a mask on, even though I'm, like, putting it on as I'm walking in. I get into the front desk, both the girls in there, have their masks like around their neck, not wearing the masks. Check me in, check my ID. I go into the reception area. Guy walks right up to me, doesn't even have a mask around his neck. What's up, dude? Looking at me right in the face with a mask on. How's it going? Nobody in the fucking weed store had a mask. And so it's like they just have the security guard out there pretending. And like, does he run back and be like, guys, they're coming to check if we have masks? And they told me no phones allowed. When I was in there, which is weird because I've never heard that in the thousand times I've been to a weed store before. They usually want your phone showing it off, like advertising it. So they literally don't want to be caught without their masks on.
Are you shopping at like a FEMA camp weed seller's market?
No, it more resembles like a head shop or something, like a tattoo parlor. Like it's really the way they have them in California is so uppity. And like secure, like it's like a bank. Like you wait in line, and then you get to the front, and the guy's behind glass, and he's like, "What can I help you with today?" And you have to like point and pantomime at what you want.
When I was out there, you still had to have the weed card, and if you didn't have one, there was a bouncer outside of every fucking weed shop.
They still have that here, but it's mostly just for security, I think, because people in California are weed wilding.
That would be a great hustle, kind of like getting a homeless guy to buy you booze. If you're a homeless guy, just get a weed card and sit outside.
Right. I'll buy you weed.
What do you want? All right.
Until the fucking security guard catches wind of what you're doing. Hey.
Give me your jacket.
it's your friend.
You just dress up like each different customer.
Another thing that happened to me with the masks that really triggered me is this 7-Eleven I keep going to. They keep being iffy. I'll see them. I'll be in there and they'll be wearing the masks like during the day. And I come back at night and the night crew doesn't wear the mask. So I walk in and I need it. And usually no customers have masks. Only half the time do customers have masks. But these employees, I walk in, these employees aren't wearing masks. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I already have it on. So I'm committed. Now I'm not going to take my mask off walking into the store. I look like a fucking crazy person doing that. So I just kept the mask on. I get to the front, buy like a beer. And the guy IDs me, checks my ID and goes, oh, buddy, I would have, if I'd have known it was you, why do you have the mask on for, buddy? He asked me, why do I have the mask on for? Why do I have the mask on for, buddy? He had a mask around his neck and wasn't wearing it. He asked me, why do I have a mask on, buddy?
Can you imagine? All right, tell me this.
I was fucking mad, Ian.
Mad that you had to wear one, or
mad that I'm being bamboozled, that I'm being fucking played with, because I wasn't wearing the mask for the longest time, bro, until they finally put people at Safeway that were like, hey, dude, you can't come in without a mask. I was like, oh, okay, they're finally getting serious about it. And then, like, now I walk into Safeway and, like, there's like the kid pushing carts is just all sweaty, breathing heavy, no mask on, no mask to be seen. It's like hanging out of his back pocket. Like, what are we doing?
The Walmart by me is like the beaches of Normandy, where they just have like barbed wire and steel crosses up. There's like three armed guards. One of the exits is fully shut down, which is a massive fire hazard.
Yeah, when this shit first started and I went to Walmart a few times, I haven't been there in a while because fucking now it's too much, but at first it was like I was waiting in line outside to be checked into Walmart because they were at capacity. Like, that makes me want to plant trees, melt them down in the paper, and figure out the right consistency to make my own toilet paper. I'd rather do that than stand in line to get inside of Walmart.
But then you can't play Fortnite. We all just have to migrate to the internet. So if you walked into a gas station, say like you're about to roll a blunt, you don't have papers, it's the middle of the fucking night, and you walk in and the guy's coughing and picking his nose, would you still make a purchase?
Because here's the thing, the blunt wrap is wrapped up, so it depends on, I guess, how severe what he's doing and what my vicinity is to other options. If it's like 1:30 a.m. and this is the last a.m. p.m. with woods, then I guess I'm gonna have to deal with some. I'm gonna have to wash off that packaging before I. That's all. All you gotta do is wash off the packaging. He's not gonna put his lips on the cigarettes or anything like that.
Oh, what if he was like, my man's, I hit a blunt real, I hit a smoke real quick.
Man's, let man's get a doobie hit, man's. Whatever happened to Rico? Did you notice the Gas Trip podcast just quit after we made fun of them?
I don't know if their podcast is around, but Blanco's still making beats, and he had one today. The artwork said rape across it. And this is a guy that did like COVID crying songs, and like every social event, he's like, this one's for my mans and them. Yeah, we stands with you in the streets, man.
I like how everyone in Canada, how did I start fucking saying that? Canada. All these damn Canucks around us, dude, have fucked up my vocabulary.
You gotta peel a Cananda.
Cananda. A Canana.
C-A-N-A-N. A-N-A-N-A-N-A-N-A.
Our audience gets a higher percentage Canadian like every 6 months. And all the Canadians stick around, all the Americans leave.
I like them. They seem to have a good sense of humor. But I was thinking the other day, I kind of feel bad because there's all these like British and Australian people that are just getting Opie and Anthony. And like I feel bad for these guys that are slowly consuming the show and getting hooked on it, knowing how it ends. Like I guess in my head, I'm imagining they're not going to get on the internet and just like research everything.
Not right away. Spoil it for themselves. They don't already know.
Man, this Anthony Cumia is a real funny guy.
But you know what's crazy is it depends on how you discover it, because I found out through the Patrice tapes. So up until I'd listened to every single episode of Opie and Anthony that Patrice was on, it wasn't until that moment that I was like, oh, shit, what am I going to listen to now when I'm at work? And then that's when I finally was like I had 149 episodes, and I'm like, I kind of can tell Opie and Anthony apart now, kind of. And so I guess I'll just keep listening.
It was a sad day when I got tired of Patrice reruns. Because I was just like, I've heard all of it.
I know. Like, there's not a single thing you can play. Like, I'm always like, dude, there's got to be some deep tracks out there that I fucking heard and forgot about. Nope. Nothing. Not a thing.
Every once in a while, I'll find something here or there. But more often than not, I see a title and I get excited. I'm like, oh, what? Patrice versus Bill Burr? I was like, oh, that gay ass fight. Yeah,
the best thing I ever found in the last, like, year was that guy that remasters all the Tough Crowd replays. And he is a freakazoid that belongs in our universe. So we should actually involve
him. Bring him over. Recruit him to the team. I was thinking instead of a corporation, I like the idea that we're the Adjustment Bureau.
And, we're syndicate.
Here, yeah, we're here to make some adjustments to comedy because you guys are ruining it, and that's frustrating. I don't even necessarily want to be part of comedy anymore. I just want you guys to do it right, and I'll just passively enjoy it from this point forward.
I think we should bring that idea to the CEO at a board meeting. I think we might be able to get the majority to vote that we move into being more of a review board.
So Nick Mullen, I'm pretty sure, is a Red Bar head. And I say that because the other day he was talking about how when Nanette's special came out, Cameron Esposito didn't tweet about it at all. Now he's banned from Twitter and doesn't really go on the internet. And Red Bar is really the only person on earth that I ever saw put that together, because I sure as fuck wasn't checking Cameron's tweets to see if she mentioned Nanette.
And you had her phone number.
Yeah, I know Cameron. She was very nice to me. Now Nick's new thing is to talk about how he hates stand-up and how embarrassing it is that he wanted to be a comedian.
Yeah, I love how Nick is just CEO from when With Apologies started now. Like, he's where CEO began at just now.
Well, I want to adjust him because stand-up isn't gay. The thing that ruins stand-up, the thing that ruins comedy is comedians, and just that so many of them are so bad and self-censor so much that, like, nothing ever feels risque or enjoyable, or, like, it doesn't feel like anybody has their heart on the line or anybody, like, has anything to say except for, like, Chappelle.
This yeah, that's the thing. Comedians. Like, who? No,
it
no
be
one,
more than one.
Nothing's happened. No one's doing anything. The only thing there is to talk about is the one thing everyone's talking about, and that's the election. So, what comedy are we even missing out on?
I was telling my buddy
Joe
today,
Rogan. Like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but could you just imagine Joe Rogan? Like, have you ever been so fucking high? Just talking about how high he is. Like, none of us have jobs, Joe. None of you need to make us fucking laugh, my guy. You need to make us belly laugh right now, because fucking humping the chair, that's not cutting it 2020. Don't think that's cutting it in 2021 either. So I don't know what's open in Texas, but you're gonna have to come original this year.
Well, as much as it fucking sucks that like like the comedy that I was like, I want to get really good at that, now feels like it's illegal. Ari Shaffir said, like, it's a great time to do comedy because now is when it's dangerous. It's, you know, like, it's easy to be like, man, Lenny Bruce was great. But now is the time to do that shit.
I feel like I have a mixed kind of view of it like that.
Well, I don't feel like the thing is to, like, be Bill Hicks where you go out and you're like, this is a stump speech, harumpa-pump. I don't think it's that important. I just think now what's important now is to just be funny. That's the, like, holding the line. That's the scary thing I'm asking you to do, is just be brave enough to be funny. Let's just get through this and not put our tails between our legs, because times are tough.
The thing that ruined stand-up for me, because I've tried it like 4 times a long
You're
time ago
me.
Yeah, I told you about this, I think, a long time ago.
No
Well,
we're talking about
it was 2012, my friend. So it was before I even knew you.
You were like 14 back then.
I was 20.
All right.
But the thing that turned me off from it is the appeal of being hacky. And as I've gotten older, and as I go to open mics, because that's all I've ever been to is open mics,
and I like watch other people perform and I go to friend shows and stuff and I see people do material, I'm just like, I hate everything they're doing, but they're getting laughs from the room. And so like what I've always thought is it would be easy to go up on stage and do comedy and be original and do new concepts and be a little weird, be a little abstract and like make new things, talk about new stuff, handle things in a different way. But what I think is hard about comedy is the fact that you've got to stomach through the entire crowd not getting it for years while you figure out, how am I going to do this new thing? And then you're watching all the hacks around you literally get successful, paid money.
Get shows.
Orange Man bad.
It just makes you want to tear your fucking eyes out.
Yeah, that makes me not. When I went to my first open mic and there was a group of kids my age all sitting in a circle waiting for the mic to start so they could get in and write their names down. And there was like one kid who wasn't any older than the rest of us. He was just ethnic, was sitting down like holding court with a notepad talking about the craft of comedy. I was like, ooh, I think I've made a terrible mistake.
See, like I had all those conversations when I was first starting, especially on my first podcast. And then, like, 5 years ago, I went to an open mic, and I overheard, like, two different tables having those conversations. I was like, you gotta get the fuck out. Like,
yeah.
I can't be mad at them. I understand that's part of the process. And, like, I wouldn't expect you to show up to, like, a construction job and just, like, figure it out. Like, you have to, be told some shit.
If I were to make a comparison to skateboarding like I always do, old people skateboard all the time. That's not a problem. And beginners skateboard all the time. That's not a problem. But it would be weird if grown 30-year-olds were coming up to me at the skate park and being like, how do I do this? How do I? And it's like, bro, you're an adult. Either figure it out or get away from me. Open mics should be a bunch of 20-year-olds eagerly crushing their spirits, realizing that their dreams are shit. It shouldn't be a bunch of 45-year-olds in there talking about the craft and figuring out how to do comedy.
That is part of the pussification of it, is the, like, not wanting to fall off your skateboard. They're like, you got to have thicker skin. Get up there and fail. That's
yeah.
How you get better. Fail.
I don't, when people
try new shit.
People tell me I don't want to fall. I'm like, well, then don't do it. Because that's mostly what's going to happen, is you're going to fall. And I saw that the first time I did stand up, I was like, oh, yeah, I could do this for years and just bomb again and again. Because I'm at least going to try to do like what you do, which is just kind of freestyle, my concepts. I would never sit down and be like, well, what makes people laugh, and try to construct a joke? Like the idea of doing
that makes
me feel like CEO. It makes me go, ugh.
How do I cram my Shazam joke into my weed joke? I'll make it an unbelievable moment.
Yeah. Anytime I've been to an open mic and the guy does a song, I've seen multiple people do a song in their set, and then they're like, by the way, that song is on iTunes.
Yeah. Like,
I don't want to go re-listen to your shitty comedy bit song and pay for it. You just did it for free for the whole room.
There are people that hand out business cards, which if I had any sense, that would be a good way to promote the podcast. But that's one of those things where I'm like, this just feels so asinine and stupid. I don't want to do it. That's where I shoot myself in the foot and, like, don't grow the show at all, because I think it's all horse shit to promote.
That's the thing, is if I had any sense, I would go to open mics and just get comedians to talk to me and get them to call into the show and shit. But I can't. I can't sit there and try to figure out, like, is he going to be able to handle it? Or if I'm not caring who handles it. Then, like, I can't deal with people being butthurt. Like, that's the guy that be inviting people on podcasts when they be getting called the N-word.
our show, I believe, I listened to Ladies Come Town. It didn't seem like there was any sort of direct response to us. But at some point, it seemed like they implied we might be that racist podcast. I was like, listen, Cosmic's Mexican, CEO's black, Kenny's gay, I'm a transgender lesbian, and Dylan's a millennial skater, yeah, asexual creature. But I can understand how you would get that.
Yeah, I do understand.
An episode. So the last episode we went over all the new stand-ups, and yeah, I definitely don't have the stomach to just sit there and hate watch shitty comedy. endlessly. You're definitely right about that. When we posted the episode, it got pulled down, and I was like, "Hey, Cosmic, you know, YouTube has this thing where they'll just delete the censored content. Like, put it up, and maybe we can like, you know, just miss a small chunk." Now, when I initially posted the grab bag of shit, I got flagged right away for a certain comic, Naomi, whatever the fuck her name is. So I took her out and I reposted it, and then I got like 6 more flags the next day. So I was like, Cosmic, post it. Let me know when you post it, because I'm going to rip it right away, because they're probably going to pull this down 6 more times and just whittle this fucking podcast down to nothing. They cut out 8 minutes. And it was that bitch that stole a joke from the SNL girl. I can't think of her name. The Ghostbusters black chick.
I know who you're talking about.
Everybody knows who we're talking about. There was a joke thief in there of her, and they cut out that part and us talking about Rogan. And Rogan has been in a heap of shit. So would you like to talk about this week in Rogan?
Let's do it. Yeah, the last time I saw Rogan was his first episode of his new podcast that Red Bar talked about, where he was hammered, and that made me really second guess and go like, how many times have I watched Joe Rogan where he's just been hammered and I didn't notice?
Somebody I know on Twitter today posted like, I haven't watched Rogan in like 4 years. I wish I could get into it just to be outraged like the rest of you. All right, so let me unfold. So first he had that guy, his first guest was the guy that like invented podcasting. It was like that dude, Mike David, started in the same week. And that dude then went on his podcast and talked about it. And he said that like they went out to dinner right afterwards and Joe drove. Well, they sit there and they get stoned and drunk for 4 hours. So Red Bar pointed that out and made a video about it. It got like 80,000 views already. Well, that got that guy in trouble, and Spotify today deplatformed him.
And what?
His episode and his podcast from Spotify.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that it had gotten so serious. That guy really seemed like just an average jamoke, too. He didn't even seem like he was really – I'd never heard of him before.
He reminds me of, like, Phil from The Simpsons, that guy that, like, nothing ever works out for him. Well, I guess Phil's getting a BitChute account.
I guess we're drunk driving with Joe Rogan. Oh,
guy invented the medium, finally gets his big break, and like shoots himself in the foot with an innocuous comment.
But so that implies a little underhandedness, though, because that means Joe's not even getting punished. Joe's so big, they can't even really get Joe in trouble for it. So they're punishing other people. Like, what's next? Is Brendan Schaub going to get in trouble because he keeps talking about how Joe Rogan keeps fucking his openers?
My friend, get ready, because that is just the first of, like, 6 things that happened this week.
Boy.
They've said they're not going to port over certain episodes. They are censoring the podcast. And they're also, they want to be able to tell him no on having certain guests on. So Alex Jones 100% will not be on there. Gavin will not be on there. Milo will not be on there. Anybody that's an enemy of Spotify is not allowed on the Joe Rogan podcast right now.
I don't know if it's just coincidence, but ever since he went to Texas, I don't think there's been like one notable guest on there.
Oh, it's been like dog shit all week.
Even Julian Assange was on there, or not, fucking the other guy, the nerdy guy.
Well, I guess Snowden was on there. Snowden.
But he's not even interesting to listen to, so I didn't watch that.
I actually do want to watch that, because I liked Snowden in his last interview, but my take on him was, I feel like he's like a groundhog that like every 4 years should pop up and just tell me everything he's learned. I don't need to hear from him every day, so I don't know if does he have any cool new information, or is this just him rehashing the same horse shit he said on the last episode. So the transgender community is furious at Joe. Caitlyn Jenner called him a homophobe on TMZ.
I did see that. So did one of the View ladies, right?
The View lady went after him, and someone that he assaulted like 10 or 15 years ago, some woman, I guess he karate chopped her in the throat. and there's a police report to it.
Oh.
That's being brought up, and all of this is part of Donald Trump has said he wants to have the debates with Joe on the Joe Rogan podcast. So now the DNC, which doesn't want these debates, is trying to get Joe fucking canceled.
I also watched Tim Pool's conspiracies videos, just as a
I did not see Tim Pool. I don't watch the show, but
I go to Tim Pool for all of my Joe Rogan news.
Now is Tim Pool's time to shine, and I was thinking, like, if Rogan held the debates, there would have to be a follow-up debate where he has Tim Pool come and ask real questions to the candidates. yes, Mr. Trump. Yeah, yes, you'll know me. I'm Tim Pool from Vice Magazine. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
I was thinking this earlier today. How come everyone that's like Tim Pool has to sound like Ben Shapiro? Like, why can't Tim Pool just talk normal? Why does he have to talk like this and sound like he's a Homelander? And why do I have to make sure that I...
Do you think it's Adderall?
Is that how they get all their research done? Because I just think about their video process, bro. They just sit there on the computer all day looking up stories, looking at Twitter, trolling shit, basically. And then they see something that they're like, oh, this is fucking going to be trigger everybody. And then they fucking, right from their computer desk, just turn on the camera, record a 30-minute to hour-long video. They turn it off, and they go back to trolling the internet, and they make 3 videos a day.
You know what I think part of it is that they know that the show is going to get cut into clips. And the people have low attention spans, so they have to get out as much information as quickly as they can for, like, video retention.
That's how you get those video. Ben Shapiro demolishes college student. It's just because of his speed of how fast, quickly he's able to put his points back to back. It really sounds like he's handling them, but he's just talking really fast. And if you say 14 points in a row like this really, really fast, it kind of sounds like you know what you're talking about.
Curio, I don't remember if it was Curio or the Creationist Cat. These are the actual SJW YouTube channels I watch. One of them did a video about Ben Shapiro exposing that, like, he's a bad debater. And it's like, every time it looks like he's destroying someone, really, he's just rambling facts off at someone through a microphone. And they're, like, at such a disadvantage that they can't come back. It's like dealing with a comic if the comic didn't have to be funny. You just have to keep talking and... what's it called where you keep talking in court? Filibustering,
yeah. We do it on the air all the time.
And I guess anytime he's actually held to account, he fucking loses his arguments, according to them. I don't know.
So, I always go back to the Patrice bit about putting marbles up your ass. It's like, I don't see why, whether or not Ben Shapiro is a clown talking about wet ass pussy, or whether or not he got destroyed in this one instance, has anything to do with some of his other points. Like, he's just sticking marbles up his ass. Like that Candace Owens girl who I would fuck, you know, so quickly. She makes a lot of really good points, but then she's like, climate change isn't real because she doesn't really care about that. And that's like the Republican stance that she has to take, or maybe she really believes it. I don't really care. But I'm just like, okay, she doesn't believe in climate change. But a lot of the stuff that she says about, like, inner city communities has a lot of merit. So it doesn't really matter.
You know what sucks is
someone's sticking marbles up their ass.
You know, like, to have the opinion where you're like, I don't know about that thing. This is my issue that I know. I'm fighting for that other thing. I don't know, man. Find the guy that's their thing.
Yeah, I know. I hate it out. Like, I told someone, like, someone I knew in personal life was going crazy about Trump, like when the riots first started, and like it was like 1 a.m. they were like talking about how the, you know, everyone needs to riot and shit like that, and how, you know, they were gonna, I was just like, hey dude, I'm not even disagreeing with you, I'm just letting you know, like, I want to prepare you, like, he's gonna win again, especially now. And he's like, what are you talking about, you're a Trump supporter? I'm like, no, I'm just saying he's gonna win, I'm just stating a fact. It's not even, I'm not half stoked. He just is going to win.
Unless there's egregious foul play. And I feel like Trump's the kind where, like Al Gore lost and he conceded right away, and Hillary lost and conceded right away. And then they were like, a month later, they're like, well, actually, you did win. I feel like Trump, if there's anything, he's not conceding. He's going to be like, well, you know, we're going to wait for the chats and the ballots.
Good. I hope he fucks over the whole fucking thing, dude. Because I don't understand everyone's infatuation with the Illuminati. Because even if Trump is racist, even if I submit that he's racist and he's corrupt and he's this and he's that, he's not the Illuminati. He's not the Illuminati. I can't even say it anymore.
Well, he's not the Walking Dead that Joe appears to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Bag of fleas.
Like, I'm pretty sure if we had the fucking Illuminati still in charge, I'm pretty sure there would have never been no Middle East peace talks going on. Like, there's just certain things where I don't, like, that's how I don't understand. Like, everyone should have just rallied behind Kanye. There's no reason not to. It solves Kanye. Your problem, and it keeps the Illuminati out of the White House. Everyone would have went with Kanye. Everyone should have went with Kanye.
I have to take a quick bathroom break. When I come back, we got to talk about Kanye, Joe Budden, and more Joe Rogan news.
All right.
I'll be back in 5 minutes. Roll your blunt.
Gotcha.